My brothers and sisters, today we celebrate the solemnity of Corpus Christi, the solemnity of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that is sacramentally present to us in the gift of the Holy Eucharist. As we are in our journey of the year of faith that commenced this past October to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the opening of the Second Vatican Council, it's good to remember what the Church officially affirmed at that time. In the dogmatic constitution on the Church, in Latin, Lumen Gentium, we read, "The Holy Eucharist is the source and summit of the Christian life." And then, in the document known as the Constitution on the Sacred Liturgy, Sacrosanctum Concilium, we read, "At the Last Supper, on the night he was betrayed, our Savior instituted the Eucharistic sacrifice of his body and blood. This he did in order to perpetuate the sacrifice of the cross throughout the ages until he should come again, and so to entrust to his beloved spouse, the Church, a memorial of his death and resurrection, a sacrament of love, a sign of unity, a bond of charity, a paschal banquet in which Christ is consumed, the mind is filled with grace, and a pledge of future glory is given to us." Behind those two brief teachings, of course, they are rooted in a consistent tradition of our faith. We as Catholics truly believe that Christ is truly present, sacramentally present in the Holy Eucharist, that the Holy Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. At this Mass and at every Mass, a priest who is ordained to act in the person of Christ offers the Mass, a sacrifice that participates in an ever-living, everlasting, ever-present way the reality of our Lord's Last Supper, his death and sacrifice, and then his resurrection and ascension. At the words of consecration, that bread and wine that we offer, I as priest specifically offer, is transubstantiated into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. Although the outward appearances do not change, the what it is does change. This is truly a mystery of our faith, and really, it is a miracle. Consider, though, that what we believe and what does happen here is no less than what we find in the other miracle stories. By the very word of our Lord and his action, we hear today of how he multiplied 5 loaves of bread to feed over 5,000. Or consider the miracle of turning water into wine, or curing the sick and the lame, those who had other diseases or other afflictions. Think of the miracles where our Lord raised Lazarus from the dead, or he calmed the storm at the sea. So all of these are miraculous interventions, and that's what we believe happens here. How beautiful it is to know that our Lord does share with us his divine life and his love through this precious sacrament. Also, even when we aren't here at Mass, we can come to this church to rest with our Lord, to gaze upon the tabernacle, or at Holy Hour when we have exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, to be quiet, to be still, to open our hearts in prayer, and to just be with him. This is exactly how St. John felt at the Last Supper, as he sat so close to our Lord and rested his head upon our Lord's chest. What a beautiful sacrament. And this is what we believe, and we must never forget this. In light of this, then, we also remember that this is the foretaste of the gift of heaven. Recall what Jesus said in the 6th chapter of St. John's Gospel. "I'm the living bread that has come down from heaven. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up on the last day." So here, We are really celebrating a banquet, a sacrifice that participates with the heavenly sacrifice. And God willing, one day, we'll see the fulfillment when we stand around the altar of our Lord in heaven. To mark this day, though, our Holy Father, Pope Francis, asked that a special worldwide holy hour be conducted of Eucharistic adoration. He will do so at St. Peter's beginning this evening, Rome time, at St. Peter's. Now, immediately, life is not easy, right? The Holy Father announced this on Tuesday. And then, through most of what would be the traditional Catholic countries, the Feast of Corpus Christi actually occurs on Thursday, and there's a huge procession in Rome from St. John the Lateran to St. Mary Major Basilicas. But in America, we transfer the feast day to today, Sunday. And then, of course, Rome time, 5 p.m., is 11 o'clock our time, so we're sort of in union with our Holy Father. And with all of that said, he didn't give us much time to put together a special holy hour, especially when we have a parish picnic. Nevertheless, he asked us to pray for two special intentions. The first is as follows. For the Church spread throughout the world and united today in adoration of the Most Holy Eucharist is a sign of unity. May the Lord make her ever more obedient to hearing His word in order to stand before the world ever more beautiful, without stain or blemish, but holy and blameless, that through her faithful announcement, the word that saves may still resonate as the bearer of mercy and may increase love to give full meaning to pain and suffering, giving back joy and serenity. In this intention, our Holy Father is speaking of the communion through which the Holy Eucharist unites us as a church. This union is invisible and it is visible. Invisible in the sense that it speaks about the life of grace for each one of us that began with our baptism. Each one of us here as an individual believer is called to live in communion with the Lord. As we heard from the Second Vatican Council, here at this Mass is the source and summit of our life. But this can't be the only time we share our lives with our Lord. This is why daily prayer is so important, that we take the time to be in communion with Him. During this time of summer approaching, be sure to have a good habit, form a good habit of reading sacred scripture or some other spiritual reading. This is what brings us into a stronger friendship, a communion with our Lord. Of course, the summit then is when we come here for Mass on Sunday. Now, Sunday is God's day. Sometimes I think we've forgotten this, that Sunday is God's day. It's not about trying to fit Mass into our schedule. No, it's trying to fit our lives into God's schedule. I remember when I was growing up, back in the 60s, morning, Sunday morning, we would have breakfast, of course. Then it was time to get ready for church, put on your church clothes, and we had them. We dressed up back then. Go to St. Bernadette's, usually for 10:30 Mass. And afterwards, we would maybe get donuts at Mr. Donut Shop, or we would go to maybe Hot Shops for breakfast, or we'd come back home, and Mom would make a nice breakfast, and we'd gather. And after that, then maybe we'd go about doing something that was fun, maybe as a family or individually. But Sunday was a special day. It wasn't a day of helter, skelter, scatter, and so on. It was God's day. And I would encourage you all to pause and think about that in your own lives. We need the time to worship, to rest, to be with our families that are so precious, especially for you parents. Your children grow up so fast. It's important that you have this time to be in communion with God and with each other. So make that a special day. This invisible communion, though, also makes us examine our soul. This is important. St. Paul writes, "Let a man examine himself, for he who shares in holy communion unworthily brings condemnation upon himself. Those are harsh words. But the reality is, if we were conscious of a serious, grave, mortal sin, we need to go to confession. We need to receive sacramental absolution. Otherwise, how can the Lord's grace penetrate this heart, this soul that is turned away? We need to go to confession. We should not minimize mortal sin. And for instance, like missing Mass, just blowing it off because we have something else better to do in our own minds, that's a serious sin. Pope John Paul II affirmed back in the year 2003 that attending Mass, worshiping God, is a serious obligation and really is only dispensed for an emergency or serious illness. But just to say, well, we didn't have time today. You know, we have a party. We have this thing to do or that thing. What are we saying about God? We're saying something else is more important. There's some other idol that I have to give first priority to. God help us if that's what we think. Or even if we come here and we've already strategized, and some people habitually have this strategy, to leave early, like receive communion and like Judas, flee through the door. You hear the door bang at communion time, right? I wish that someday they develop in technology a little button so I could press a force field and maybe shock people who leave Mass early. I would love that. You know, they touch the panic bar and go, zee! You know, wouldn't that be great? But why are we here? We aren't here because of the parking lot. We're here to worship God. Take the time. Besides this internal communion, there is the external, which means that as a church, when we receive communion, we're saying, I am bound to this church. I believe what this church teaches. I believe in the sacraments and receive those sacraments. I believe in the leadership, the hierarchy, that was given to the apostles and handed on. That's a very visible sign of this communion. This is why, though, as a priest, I can't just say everyone is welcome to receive. No, we respect the differences. There are the Protestant churches, and they may be very good, faithful people, but there are differences. I can't receive communion in their church. None of us can. They are not invited to receive communion here because we aren't in union. To gloss over that would be a false communion. For instance, many of you remember in our homeless days, we'd go to the Lutheran church. They were very gracious to us. We've tried to respond in the same way. But when you walked into that church, what was missing? A tabernacle. Because they do not believe the way we do. They do not have the apostolic succession as we do. So we have to respect the differences and pray and work to bring union to the church. How wonderful it would be if we took our faith so seriously and with our perhaps Protestant friends or non-Christian friends, we talked about our faith and we encouraged people to come to maybe an inquiry class and to learn more. By the grace of God, maybe that person would come to the fullness of communion. The second intention that our Holy Father reminds us of is for those around the world who still suffer slavery, who are victims of war, human trafficking, drug running, and slave labor. For the children and women who are suffering from every type of violence, may their silent scream for help be heard by a vigilant church so that gazing upon the crucified Christ, she may not forget the many brothers and sisters who were left at the mercy of violence. Also, for all those who find themselves in economically precarious situations, above all for the unemployed, the elderly, migrants, the homeless, prisoners, and those who experience marginalization, that the Church's prayer and her active nearness give them comfort and assistance in hope and strength and courage in defending human dignity. You may recall how at every Mass, for a few years now, we've always prayed for the Christians throughout the world who are persecuted. We need to be very mindful of that. When we hear stories about what has happened or what is happening in Pakistan, Iraq, Iran, Israel, Egypt, Libya, Tunisia, and so on, Christians are persecuted. We don't hear much about this in the news media. We've heard talk about this Arab Spring and so-called new democracy. Well, quite frankly, under Saddam Hussein or Hosni Mubarak and some of these other awful dictators, even the one in Syria today, Christians were protected. Now they live in fear. They're targeted. Priests, bishops have been kidnapped and even killed. Same true with religious. Churches bombed. Thousands have fled their homes with an ancestry that goes back to the apostles. And we don't hear anything about that. We have senators going over to Syria thinking, how can we give arms to these militant Islamic individuals of the Brotherhood of Muslims and so on? And they don't care about what's happening to the Christians. You and I should. We should pray for them. And if there's ever a way to help them materially, we should. This is a concern, because when we're celebrating this Mass, we remember it involves the sacrifice of Christ. When we receive communion, we're being united with a wounded, suffering Christ. Not just a resurrected one, a wounded, suffering Christ. And it is so essential for us never to forget that. We could live so comfortably in our world today, our little society here, and forget what is going on throughout the rest of the world. Wouldn't it be awful if we were here in fear, wondering, will some crazy person come in to bomb us, to shoot us or whatever, simply because we're the minority, we're the Christians. So my brothers and sisters, take heed. Today, pray for these two intentions of the Holy Father. One is for that communion, that unity within our church, that internal, external communion. Pray also for the church worldwide, the suffering church. May we always be conscious that we're part of this body of Christ. And with that in mind, with due respect and devotion, with the graces from the Holy Eucharist, we may one day be joined in the peace of the kingdom of heaven. May God bless you.